Hey, this is Stacey Gatsoulias.
DC Lundberg.
Ryan Finkelstein.
Taylor Blake Ward.
Host of Locked On Yankees.
Locked On Mariners.
Locked On Mets.
Locked On Angels.
And you're listening to Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Locked On Braves.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of Locked On Braves, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network and our friends across all of our sponsorships, whether that be Built Bar, Rock Auto, Indeed, or a whole mess of places. The Locked On Podcast Network is here to bring you exactly what you want as often as you need it every single day, covering your favorite teams, keeping you up to date on everything you can possibly need to know. Locked On Podcast Network here for your favorite shows and your favorite team. All right, so the Braves just clinched for the third consecutive year. That is fantastic news for the Braves. If you want to win a postseason series, the number one thing to do is win your division. So for the Braves, the hunt for October victories begins now. This is super important, as the Braves were able to do this on the strength of some really good young pitching, which has been absolutely abysmal for Atlanta for almost all of this season up until this great late run here. The Braves are able to clinch the division off the backs of four consecutive starts made by rookie starting pitchers, which is not something that we thought that we'd be saying this far into 2020. But you had a shaky first inning from Ian Anderson before he evened out and had a good start. You had a great start from Kyle Wright, which was actually the best start of his young career. We've talked about that already. Which actually just looked fantastic. 6 1/3 of one hit, one walk, 6 strikeouts, looked great. That's 3 consecutive starts, but he's looked really good. Wascar Anoa had a little bit of struggles. His first inning was not great for him. Much like Ian Anderson's, gave up 3 runs in his first inning. He might have actually given up all 5 of his hits in the first inning as well, but he settled in really nicely, went 1-2-3 the next 2 innings, got pulled. I thought it might have been for pitch count at first. Turns out it might have been more cracked a nail. It looks like he cracked his fingernail the same kind of way like Zach Wheeler did. Caused him to leave the game early. Hopefully he's okay because he's been pitching phenomenally. Outside of that, looked really good. And Bryce Wilson last night. I do want to talk about Bryce a little bit. I'll spend a little bit more time on Bryce Wilson because what we saw from him last night was the best he has ever looked as a big league baseball player. That was absolutely fantastic. 5 innings, got his first major league win, which is a big deal. I mean, when you're talking about, and I talked about this with Kyle Wright. We talk about this with, you know, pitching wins. It's not an important stat. But for these young guys, I'm going to say this again, just like I said yesterday for Kyle Wright, it is very important for these young guys to get that first one out of the way, to get off the schneid, and to get that one in the W column. It allows you to relax. It kind of makes you think that, okay, I can do this. I belong at this level. Now I've got a win under my belt, and I'm able to relax a little bit and just go out there and throw. And for Bryce yesterday, he looked fantastic. Started incorporating a sinker or a two-seam. I couldn't really tell which one it was. By the way, difference. A lot of people use two-seam and sinker interchangeably. They are different pitches. Two-seam has more horizontal movement. Sinker has more vertical. Just for anybody wondering out there, usually a two-seam can be thrown a little bit faster, unless you're Noah Syndergaard and can throw a 100-mile-an-hour sinker. But used both fastballs. So he used the sinker, and he used his four-seam, and he also used his slider on top of it. Now, his secondaries are still not great pitches, so it was really encouraging to see him add that sinker or two-seam into the arsenal to help the slider out a little bit more. And he got a good number of swings and misses on that slider. It was a little bit sweepy. It's not super sharp. There were a couple that were thrown really well, but for the most part, it was kind of sweepy, not really as sharp as you'd like to see a slider at the big league level. But for Bryce, it worked out well for him. Had 7 strikeouts. Again, little to no walks. That has been the name of the game for these young guys. They have really done a good job the last 4 times through. I was looking at it, and from the last 4 starts combined, Braves pitchers have walked 7 people out of the last 4 starts combined, which if you were looking earlier, that was essentially a Kyle Wright start for 4 or 5 innings in and of itself before he got sent down and came back up. So really, really impressive from these guys. The Braves are able to clinch the division on the back of some really strong offense and a strong showing from the young guys. The Braves look to be in a really good place right now. I'm really happy with how they've been performing. Ozzie Albies coming back to lineup has been absolutely incredible. He really, really looks like he's doing everything he needs to do. He looks incredible. He looks great from the left side, actually, which is even better. And I do wonder if, while the wrist was hurting, he was only able to swing from the left-hand side without it bothering him. I wonder if that allowed him to take a lot of time to really focus on his left-handed swing and try to get that a little bit more even with the right-handed swing, which, as we know, is one of the best in baseball. So for Ozzy, he's been playing amazing. Granted, it's only 14 games so far, but he's super hot right at the right time. Acuna's coming out of his slump. He's starting to hit the ball a lot better. He was always walking, even in the worst bits of that slump, but now he's starting to hit better too. Right in time for the playoffs, Freddie Freeman jumped out of a little mini slump last night, absolutely crushed the ball to kind of try to put a nail in the coffin of his MVP numbers, which we'll talk about in the second segment. I promised you guys yesterday that we would, and we will. Marcell Ozuna has been everything and more of what the Braves and Braves fans should have expected. He has quietly had one of the better seasons in all of Major League Baseball, and if he wasn't so awful on defense, this is a guy that would probably be pretty much hands down the MVP this year. His defense really drags him down, because as much as I defended it before the season started, I am willing to admit his defense is plumb awful. But just offensively, which is all the Braves really care about with Marcell Ozuna, I mean, he's been a perfect hitter in that three-hole. 17 homers, 53 ribbies. He's scored another 34 runs, a 12.8 walk percentage, and a 23.5 K percentage. Those are awesome numbers for a power guy. 327, a 412 OBP to go along with a 630 slugging. That's good for 171 WRC+, which is elite. That's given him a 2.1 WAR season. 2.1 WAR season of 55 games. To put this in perspective, for the Cardinals last year, he played 130 games, had a 2.5 WAR season. In 2018 with the Cardinals, played 148 games, had a 2.8 WAR season. This has been the best season. This has been a very close, comparable season to what he had in 2017 with the Marlins when he posted up a 5-WAR year. Now, he's also doing it off the strength of an absurd 377 BABIP. But that's not super absurd when you see in 2017, back when he was also super amazing, it was 355. And the last couple seasons with the Cardinals, he's been some of the unluckiest hitters in baseball. Now, he hits the ball. It's not hard to see how. He hits the ball supremely hard. It just seems like every time he touches it, he hits the ball 95-plus every time. It's actually been incredible to watch. I'm really, really hoping the Braves are able to bring him back next year. I don't know if they're going to be able to, what with the whole financial loss thing. I'm hoping that they're able to get him on like a three-year deal. But for Marcell, this would be the first time that he's really eligible to get paid. It's just going to suck for him that it's going to come on the heels of one of the worst financial seasons for a lot of these owners. Whether or not you buy it to being as bad as they report it or what have you, it does look like a lot of Major League Baseball might be going the cheap route this offseason. That could help the Braves retain Marcell Ozuna. I'd like to see him come back on a three-year $60 million or maybe a three-year $66 million, right around $20 to $22 million a season. He's worth it in this lineup. He just fits seamlessly. Freddie has been absolutely incredible having a guy like Marcell behind him. I mean, it's just been absolute perfection and seamless transition in that lineup. Travis d'Arnaud has been absolutely incredible this year as well. That was a phenomenal signing. Have Travis again for next year. Austin's been hot or cold, but when he's hot, he carries the team, similar to Justin Upton. This lineup right now is the deepest that it has ever been for the Atlanta Braves, and it's just a lot of fun to watch. So we're going to go ahead and take our first break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at Freddie Freeman and why he should be the MVP, as well as answer a question that I was posed to by a listener of the program, a fan of the program, and we'll get to that coming up in the second segment. So for now, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this on Locked On Braves.
The world may have taken a break in 2020, but your business needs did not. You have to keep moving forward, and that means you need to hire the right people for your business. Indeed understands, and they're here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world for a reason. They're number one because they get you what you need fast. The best people, the fastest time possible. Unlike those other sites, Indeed gives you full control over your hiring process. But what if you're a guy looking for a new job? Never fear, because with tools like sponsored jobs, Indeed has found a way to help the job seeker with applications shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed every single month, Indeed can help you get the hire you need, the right person you're looking for, just like they have for over 3 million businesses worldwide. And right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post. That means you get more quality candidates faster, and that's the name of the game. Just go to Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB to get the best offer anywhere. That's Indeed.com/LockedOnMLB. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for sticking with us today on this very happy celebratory day as the Braves have won their third straight division championship. Now the only question is, who do we play in the first round? Right now we're trending towards playing the Cincinnati Reds. I've told you guys before, and if you're on Twitter and you've seen my Twitter account, you know I want to face the Cardinals. I want to rip their hearts out. I want to sweep them. I want to hit Yadi. I want to hit Mike Schilt. I want to hit anybody who's wronged the Braves. I want to destroy the Cardinals and fully exercise the demons of that 2019 season. If it's the Reds, the offense you feel a little bit better about because they don't make a ton of contact, but they are a big power team, and that's a big equalizer in the playoffs. They also have one of the best 1-2-3s in all of Major League Baseball, which is something that you don't really want to deal with when you got to go Bauer, Luis Castillo, and Sonny Gray. All three of those guys can go deep into ball games and are really, really good pitchers and really good strikeout pitchers, which can hurt the Braves as we've seen this year. But really, the best case scenario would be to play the Brewers. They're an awful team. Aside from Brandon Woodruff, they're completely awful. There's a couple other teams in contention. The Marlins, maybe. I don't really want to face the Marlins. I know we beat them up some this year, and I know they're really young, and I know they're kind of coming back down to earth. But it is that youth that makes them one of the teams I don't want to play. They're super pesky at the plate. They just seem to grind out at-bats, and they hit well with two strikes. It's just not a team that I want in that scenario. And I know they've got Sixto Sanchez, who is one of the most talented pitchers I've ever seen coming up this young. I don't want any part of him. I would rather be done with the Marlins after this series. I would like to see the Cardinals, but really I just want to see the Braves win a postseason series. Doesn't really matter to me who they beat as long as they beat somebody. So I'm not going to get ahead and look at the second round of the playoffs until we get out of the first round. That's kind of my new mantra. But for the Braves, you got to be feeling good about heading into the playoffs. I mentioned this before the break. This is the most deep their lineup's ever been heading into it. And a big part of that has been Freddie Freeman, who has been an MVP caliber player this season. If you have a vote for the MVP and your vote is not Freddie Freeman for the National League, you need to tell me why that is. It's not about telling me why he should be. At this point, you have to tell me why he should not be, because Freddie has been absolutely incredible. Posted 3.1 F-WAR over the course of this season, over 55 games. I mean, he's trending for like a 9-WAR season as a first baseman. It's absolutely insane. The 12 homers, you could say, yeah, you should have a few more home runs, blah, 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 whatever. But you're talking about a walk rate higher than his strikeout rate by a full 2 percentage points. His ISO is nearly 300. He's doing this off a high BABIP. He's hitting 347 with a 463 on base percentage and a 643 slugging. Good for 188 WRC plus. That's higher than Fernando Tatis. That's higher than Manny Machado. That's higher than Mookie Betts has more F-WAR than him, but that's only because Freddie plays first base. His first base defense this year has been really good. It's just first base gets dinged all the time. And it's because it's not as valuable as a defensive position as, say, shortstop or center field or right field or really any other position. But that's not really Freddie's fault. Freddie plays a really, really strong first base, as well as like you just saw last night. The play that he made to get Monty Harrison at third base, I mean, that was... I can't really describe to you how difficult that play was. That had to be an absolute perfect play on a rope because Monty Harrison was booking it, and it really was. It was a perfect play from him. It was a perfect play from Dansby. It was fantastic, and that's one of the things that I like seeing out of this team. They play very, very good infield defense. The outfield defense has been a struggle this year, well, with Ender falling down a lot, with Markakis fully smashing face first into the bottom of that cliff, and Marcelo Zuna not playing good defense. But between Ronald Acuna and Adam Duvall, you've had two good defenders. Duvall hasn't been quite as good as he was a year ago, but he's still been very good. But for Freddie, it's all about Freddie Freeman. This offense has been driven by Freddie. While Ronald was hurt, while Ozzy was hurt, it's been Freddie Freeman that's done everything to get this to be the way it needs to be. So good on Freddie. He absolutely should be the MVP. But for Freddie, you guys know exactly all about that. Freddie has just been incredible all season long. It's hard to put into words just what he's meant for this team, especially with everything that he's had to go through to get to this point. I mean, to go through the scare he did with COVID and the 106 degree fever, to come out and put this type of season with a bad first 2 weeks. I mean, there's no reason that you can have anybody above Freddie Freeman as NL MVP. I think he's been the best player in baseball this year. You could talk about Shane Bieber maybe having a case for that too, but for my money, Freddie Freeman has been the absolute best player, and it's kind of taken away from what's been a great year for Marcelo Zuna. Now, I do want to get to a question before we close for today, because we are going to run out of time here. I gave a shout out to listener to the program, Austin Day, yesterday, and he asked me a really, really good question that I'm not, that I, it was just a lot harder for me to answer than I really thought it would be. So the question was, what is the most impactful good or bad front office move made in the past couple of years? This could be offseason, trade deadline, or what have you. It's really, really a good question. I'm going to get to it here. And this really has been a really difficult question for me to come to. I've been thinking about this for the last day or so, trying to figure out which of these moves I would say has been the best moves that have been made the last couple of seasons. And I think the best move that the Braves have made in the last few years really came back in 2016. And it was a really big move for a couple different reasons. But I think I can't remember the area scout's name, but the area scout went to bat for Ian Anderson and Brian Bridges went to bat for Ian Anderson. And the drafting of Ian Anderson, I think, has set up the Braves for a lot of this success that we're seeing right now. Not even just Ian's success, who's been absolutely incredible this season, but for all the other things that allowed you to do in that 2016 draft class. So going into that draft, Ian was not the guy that the Braves were or everybody was thinking the Braves were going to take. I believe that was the Kyle Lewis season, who had just gone bonkers at Mercer that year, and everybody was just assuming that, all right, Atlanta kid, Braves need some help in the outfield, big time power, huge athlete. Kyle Lewis just makes a lot of sense. He'd had a lot of success in the Cape Cod League, but they get to it, and I know this is before the Alex Anthopoulos regime. I don't really care. I do think this was the most important. And they go with Ian Anderson, a cold weather arm kid out of high school, guy that certainly was thought to have a lot of talent, certainly was thought to have a lot of upside, actually kind of similar to Matthew Allen, who the Mets took in 2018, I believe, 2018 or 2019. But getting Ian and taking him that high, third overall, they were able to go really underslot with Ian. And what that allowed them to do was to go out and sign Joey Wentz for double the slot value of his pick. And he was a comp pick. I think he was the comp pick in the Justin Upton trade, to be able to sign Joey Wentz at double slot to get him into the system, who was an outstanding prospect in his own right, was flipped along with Travis Demeritt to bring in Shane Green, who's been a big part of this current Braves bullpen. And then to get Kyle Muller, who was a comp A round or comp B. He came from one of those trades. I can't remember who he came from. That might have been Irvin Santana or somebody like that. Was able to go over slot for Kyle Muller, who's still in the Braves system and one of the top arms in the system. A guy that's now hitting 100 miles an hour pretty consistently. A guy that a lot of Braves fans internally and externally are very excited about. It also allowed them to get Bryce Wilson in the fourth round. A guy who was committed to go to college. I believe he was going to North Carolina and was actually going to play football and baseball. And the Braves were able to sign him in the fourth round and give him double slot value as well. So it's not always the major moves, the headline moves. It's not always the Josh Donaldsons or the Marcelo Zunas that can be the most beneficial moves. Being able to just draft Ian Anderson and listen to Brian Bridges, who's such an amazing director of scouting and the area scout that went to bat for Ian so vehemently, that to me was the biggest move that we've seen in Atlanta for a good number of years. I think that's one of the things that helped set Atlanta up for this run of success now and helps set them up for runs of success in the future. Even if Muller doesn't end up pitching in Atlanta, if he ends up getting dealt, he's a guy that can bring back real value in return. He's a guy that's in the top 100, or at least breaking down the door of the top 100 right now. You're talking about Bryce Wilson, who we just saw his great start last night. Got him in the fourth round. I mean, that was a big-time draft, and they took Brett Cumberland in the third, and they took Drew Harrington in the fifth. But to get Ian Anderson, Joey Wentz, Kyle Muller, and Bryce Wilson all in the same class was a huge move, and it's one of those things that it's not ever going to get talked about as far as the big moves for the Atlanta Braves, but I think it's going to be the one that could pay the most dividends, aside from, you know, re-signing Ronald Acuna, which any GM would do, or re-signing Ozzie Albies, which any GM would do. I think that's been the most beneficial move for the Braves and one of the biggest indicators of the success of the Braves for a long time to come. All right, so as it is, that's enough. I already went over the time limit for this segment. I went over the time limit for this episode yet again. I hope you guys like that answer. Thank you guys for tuning in to the show, as always. Really, really love any listener interaction. If you guys have any other questions, feel free to reach out to me on Twitter, at DylanXShort, or reach out on the Locked On Braves account, and I'll make sure that I answer your questions as well. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on Locked On Braves.